In May of 1920, Irish railway workers started refusing to transport British weapons and forces. It was a crucial act of civil resistance in the War of Independence. This week marks 100 years since that strike came to an end. On the 21st of December that year, the railway men met in the Mansion House in Dublin and voted unanimously to return to work. Now we're going to hear a personal perspective on this event from Alex White.
Well, one of the things about the pandemic this year is that it has curtailed and really limited any kind of public commemoration of the events of 1920. But one of the things that happened in 1920 as well that's less spoken about is the munitions strike. It wasn't really a strike, more of an embargo where railway workers refused to handle arms, refused to carry soldiers, British soldiers who were carrying weaponry. And it was a very important part of the independence struggle. There was some suggestion, obviously, in the British government that there was intimidation of the railway workers. Were the IRA involved in instructing them? There was some evidence of it, but I think really it stood on its own. Whatever about some intimidation on the margins, it was a really important action taken by the railway workers. I have a personal connection with it myself because my grandfather, Martin White, was involved in the sense that he was one of the railway men, drivers, who was taken down from the engine when he refused to carry soldiers on a train that he was due to drive from Waterford during that period, we think sometime maybe in the summer of 1920. He's written about it. So the amazing thing is that my grandfather actually wrote two pieces in the early 1960s after he had retired, after 50 years on the railways. There's so much in there. It's really wealth of information, the life on the railways, the whole business of the work ethic that the railway men had throughout that period. I mean, it's a half a century of a life on the railways. Amazing reading. But he covers that event, recounts that event where he himself was sacked for refusing to carry British soldiers on his train. He says, a detachment of Devons arrived on the platform, entered my train. When starting time arrived, the guard gave me the green flag, but I remained stationary. I was thereupon accosted by the officer in charge, who was accompanied by Traffic Inspector Hurley. I was asked my reason for not starting the train, and I replied, I refuse to work the train whilst British armed forces are on board. Now, we used to hear about this story when we were kids from my father, Robert, who was also a train driver. So it's kind of family lore. That's what your grandfather did in the war, so to speak. And I'm sure many families across the country have memories that have been passed down through the generations, which are so important when we think about the period. My grandfather writes so vividly about not just about the munitions strike, but by other elements in his own life. He had tended, for example, for his brother, who died in 1919 from the flu epidemic, Spanish flu, which is another kind of resonance for us today. He was an Alex White, and he was tended by Martin White in his last months. So the munitions strike, more of an embargo. It had started in Dublin, in the docks in Dublin in May. By the time we got to this time, towards the end of the year, huge parts of the country were effectively grinding to a halt economically. I mean, it had a huge impact. A lot of tensions, internal tensions in the unions. Of course, the unions were based in London. They weren't always that enthusiastic for the action here because, of course, it was cross-cut by the whole independent struggle. And also the railway companies, which we tend to forget were private companies then. They were under pressure from the British government to get this thing moving again, to sack the workers who wouldn't do their job. But then the companies were worried about their income because every time you sacked a worker, well, then there was a train not running today. So there was less and less activities. And I know that Tom Johnson, who was leader of the Labour Party then, he was a real critical figure in the events of 1920. And Tom Johnson said, and I think it was a lovely quote, he said, the railwaymen were making an assertion that as workmen, they had a right to be conscious cooperators in the end that was being sought, the national struggle. That in their work, they were not merely cogs in the industrial machine, but were human beings. And I think that this speaks not just to the importance of the national struggle for those workers, but also to their dignity as workers and also to their the importance of their own representative organisations. This was a trade union event and an important part of the labour history of the country as much in terms of the national struggle. Tomorrow, the 21st of December, will mark 100 years to the day from the meeting that was held in the Mansion House in Dublin where the men came together and they decided to call off the strike. I think Michael Collins was just as happy to call it off at the end of 1920 as well. It had done its task. But the Labour Party said that despite the ineffectiveness of the conclusion of the strike, it was, and I quote, it was a fight well worth waging, if only as an example of the willingness of Irish workers to risk their chances of livelihood for a noble cause. And so when I kind of think back, well, why would my grandfather on that day in summer of 1920? Why would he refuse and defy his employer? Why would he do this? Why would he endanger his own livelihood, his own income? I think, and I'm, you know, happy to agree with what the Labour Party and TU said at the time, that it was a case of risking the chances of your livelihood for a noble cause.
Alex White there with reflections on the Irish Railway Munitions Strike of 1920, which came to an end a century ago this week.